Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to More Than Amused Podcast, a podcast all about women and the arts, hosted by Stani and Sadie.
Join us as we explore what it's like being a female artist, examine modern day problems, and educate ourselves and you on important and forgotten female artists of the past.
So thank you, Emily, for joining us back on More Than Amused. We're so happy you've been on here in the past, so we're excited to have you back. But anyways, we're talking about feminine rage with our March Madness. And when we needed someone to talk on feminine rage, who else could we go to be our music expert than Emily from the New Nine? Thank you for being here.
I'm so excited.
We know you. We've been following you for years. But do you just very briefly just want to touch on what you do with the New Nine? And then we'll jump into our discussion on being angry.
Of course. The New Nine is like a feminist music platform. We highlight indie artists, we champion women in music, and we just want to highlight some of the issues women in music are facing while also uplifting and supporting them.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's amazing.
A mission that we 1,000%
yes.
can get behind.
And I have to say, I love your men I hate in music
yes.
series, because I feel like it's so important. A lot of people don't know these details. We did a whole episode on Elvis and we're like,
oh yeah,
surprise. Yeah, so it's good. I feel like it's important to get that information out there.
Totally. And it's such a controversial series and I get a lot of hate for it, but what I'm not telling anyone what to do. I'm just informing them of the facts. And I think it's important to see how much problematic men are just put on a pedestal in the music industry.
Definitely.
Totally. Like the amount of things that are like swept under the rug, and I'll see those and I'll be like, man, yes. I know that guy's name, but I didn't know that. And like you said, you're just giving people an opportunity to say, hey, I hate this person. Maybe you could hate them too, but I'm not going to force you. But yeah. I have seen the comments that you get will come for you over those. And you're so brave, honestly.
Oh. It's taken some time. I used to be so much more sensitive about it. Now I'm like, oh, just internet people. Like, yeah. People on the internet, too, will find a reason to hate anything. That's just the life.
It is the life. I know. Unfortunately, our videos will sometimes get on the wrong side of, like, YouTube
yep.
shorts or...
Yep.
And we'll get all kinds of things. And it's at first, it's so jarring of, oh my gosh, who could say this? And then it's, you know what? If I met this person in real life, I would not like them anyways. It's cool. We're just
gonna... like, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Jumping into then women being righteously angry, I think. So obviously these questions are touching on music. So I'm going to start with our first one, which kind of goes back to historically. And I want your opinions on, like, how do you think music has historically been used as a platform for women to express anger or frustration or those ugly emotions?
I think music is one of the first outlets, I think, that a lot of people had to express anything. And I think women have been so repressed with their emotions. And there has been only certain emotions that were allowed. And I think that music allowed a lot of rage to be expressed. And I think it even goes back to blues singers way back in the day, complaining about their husbands, complaining about cheating and stuff. And that was something that was like not super allowed. That was seen as like very like brash, very manly. And so I think music was definitely one of the first outlets for women. And it's something that women have always like bonded over. And it's been something that joins women together, I think. Is you know, we always say now, oh, we love so-and-so because she's so relatable. I feel like music has always been the platform that it's like we're all relating to these lyrics for a reason. And I think it gave women like a sense of community even if they're like, oh, I've never heard someone talking about wanting to leave their cheating husband. I want to do that. Yeah.
No, that's really cool. I love the tie into blues music because that's like what the whole, it's the blues. That's like the end. And I love the idea that that's the beginning, not even the beginnings, but is a foundational point. And it's all about the community. Is there specific songs or artists that you think particularly do? I know you just brought up the blues genre, but like it historically or even modern, I'm okay with.
I have a lot.
Of course. Yes.
And I think there's just different versions of what rage can mean to someone. There's like definitely anything will start with a lot of the Riot Girl movements in the 90s. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of 90s music in general, because I feel like that was like on the cusp of third wave feminism, where it was like, we're not just like fighting for our rights, we're fighting for recognition, we're fighting to be on an even playing field, we're fighting for so much more. And I feel like a lot of the Alanis Morissettes, Fiona Apples, Liz Phairs paved a lot of the way for what we think of as female rage now. And then like up to even a lot of like pop stars. I think Halsey has a lot in her music, Florence and the Machine, I think. Mm-hmm. And Beyonce, especially. I love Beyonce. When Beyonce is mad, I am so mad.
The whole Lemonade is the best because, agreed, when Beyonce is mad, that is, that's my favorite version of Beyonce.
Yeah. Get out obviously of the way.
Yes, exactly. She obviously had to get
Ring the Alarm.
Oh.
Ring the Alarm is such a good rage song. You are mad
true.
With Beyonce.
Yes. I forgot about that song, but that's,
I know.
What a throwback.
I remember that song so specifically because that was when people were spreading rumors that Jay-Z was cheating on Beyonce with Rihanna, and then she released that song, so it was like tying into it. I remember this so specifically, but I love that song.
It's a good one. And then Don't Hurt Yourself, that's like my angry song. Like when I'm angry, it's Don't Hurt Yourself by Beyonce and Jack White. Yeah.
Yeah, but I definitely think a lot of the 90s female artists, whether some people think it's contrived feminism or not, like a lot of people think, you know, certain things weren't genuine, but I think it just gave a platform and gave a lot of room for artists now to grow in that space of what we think of as female rage now.
That's an interesting thing. I feel like even if someone else handed you the lyrics and they're like, this will be a hit, don't you think there's probably some part of you that's, I can relate to part of this? I don't know. It can't be that contrived.
Oh, for sure. And I feel like, especially like if we go to Alanis Morissette, like Jagged Little Pill, the feelings in that are so relatable to so many women. Yeah. You ought to know and all that, because not only the lyrics, but the way she's singing it, the rage is so palpable. Her emotions are like right on the edge the whole time. And I think that's what really skyrocketed her into what we know now. But it's something that now sounds maybe even not even as like controversial because it's so common.
That's the one thing I wanted to talk about next is like, how do you think the music industry then, as a working machine it is, how has it, do you think, suppressed it or encouraged it? Because sometimes, like you said, it sells and sometimes it is actually good things. I don't know. Yeah, any thoughts on that?
I think there's a really mixed bag, and I think it does sell, but the music industry has like this funny way of being like, oh, women love this thing, but we don't care. Like they've always been sleeping on women as a fan base, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times women's rage has been cut off by the industry with like things like radio play, like what we saw with the Chicks after they made out like political statements. Yeah. I think it was really like, oh, you're mad, cutting it off. And I think also someone that has like a lot of, you know, mixed feelings, like Courtney Love, I think got really shut off by the music industry when Courtney Love is not the best person. Okay. Yeah. Courtney Love, we have a lot of mixed opinions on Courtney Love, but I think a lot of people don't like her kind of for the wrong reasons. They don't like her because she's loud, she's outspoken, she's like the mess. And I think those same standards aren't upheld for a lot of men. And if she was a man, we'd be like, oh, she's controversial. She's rock and roll. She's Maddie Healy.
Yeah.
I feel like people, the music industry turns their backs on women who go against kind of the grain. And even if it's, I can't be like, they're the best people to hold up as an example. But I think she's definitely an example of someone the music industry has a weird love-hate relationship with, because she made some great music. She is a pillar for female rage in music. A lot of women really relate to the things she's saying. But at the same time, people will flip it around and say she killed Kurt Cobain and all the time or something like that. And then the Chicks were banned and then had a really great comeback with Not Ready to Make Nice, which I think is such a valid song. So I think it's a really mixed bag on the music industry, whether they uplift something because it's selling or push it down because... And, like, the radio play thing is a thing with a lot of country artists, for sure.
Yeah. It's interesting, even you just bringing up Maddie Healy, it's interesting how the industry has a place for morally gray men.
Yes, exactly.
But as soon as a woman does something that is not perfect, she goes, oh, you shouldn't have done that. There's no room for you here. And that's kind of that's interesting.
Yeah. Men are allowed to... be like, oh, it's controversial, it's nuanced, you don't get it. Mm-hmm. But for women, it's immediately, oh, she's horrible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when the truth is, like, anger can be a very messy emotion. So if there is an artist that is expressing that, they'll get it wrong. It's like statistically, they're going to do something that maybe they shouldn't have done if they're okay with being angry publicly.
Yeah, I think anger is a messy emotion. And I do agree, it's like, I've always said people are allowed to grow and learn. And I think we should give some more allowance to women who are going through a lot and maybe, you know, anger especially.
Yeah. Totally. You brought up the Chicks, but do you think there are other female musicians that, and I know you talked about Halsey, granted, you've brought up a lot of amazing artists, but any other ones that you think have particularly used their platform to address that and maybe fuel it? I don't know. Fuel that feminine rage or...
I think country music, especially like talking about like Loretta Lynn, who has been banned from the radio so many times. She had a song, The Pill, about birth control, which is like the least controversial thing is birth control. Like I guess not. Yeah. But it's just crazy. And she got a lot of pushback from her label and she was really passionate about this song. And a lot of her songs about, again, we go back to country women leaving their husbands, got a lot of pushback from radios. And we see that affecting their careers, but I think it's really important what she did. And platforming things, like if you look at Nina Simone, like her career was never the same after she did Mississippi Goddamn. And I think Nina Simone is another good example of that kind of female rage that was a quieter rage. And I think she said something like she was just internalizing so much rage that after that song was released, she just spiraled.
Go on.
There you go.
I was just going to say, it's interesting with country music because with Beyonce, she just put out a country song. And a lot of the comments of like, because it just went number one. That's an incredible thing. And I was seeing so many comments of these women would be turning in their graves and they're referencing like those older country women. And I'm like, you're so dense because exactly like they're like Loretta Lynn, like this isn't her. And I'm like, no, there's more of a chance that they would love this than they would be upset and rolling in their graves of what has happened to country music. I was just like, again, the internet is a horrifying place.
I was reading those comments because I'm from Texas. Beyonce's from Texas. I love my girl, my Texas girls. Mm-hmm. It is so natural that she would make country music. Daddy Issues was already really good. And I was reading one comment and some girls, country music isn't about like glitz and glamour. And someone's like, did you tell Dolly Parton that?
Dolly would disagree so strongly.
Yes, she would.
Country music has just made such a complete turnaround of what it once was. And I think Beyonce is allowed to be in any genre she wants to be in, honestly.
Yeah. Hasn't she earned her stripes at this point? Just let her do what she wants.
people are just mad because she's good at everything she does. I get it.
Like, that's a threatening thing. But what were you saying? Sorry, what? I cut you off.
What were we talking about? The social platforms?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say Sinead O'Connor, too, was a huge activist and had a lot of that, what people would call female rage. And she said she had a hit song and everyone loved her. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as she started expressing any of her opinions, everyone turned on her. And she actually said that was a good thing because she didn't want to be like a number one song person. She wanted to do what was right for her artistry. She wanted to go rip up that photo of the Pope on SNL and talk about dismantling the patriarchy and how religion traumatizes girls. And it's like back to that thing you were saying about the music industry, like supporting or not supporting, but it's these artists that have this like feminine rage and use it to further like these huge statements about women's rights. And it's a mixed bag on if they're going to be rewarded or get a slap on the wrist.
True. Yeah. Leading into that then, do you think that music streaming and social media then has maybe changed that landscape because some power has been taken away from record labels in some senses? Or do you think that maybe not as much as maybe one would think?
I definitely think social media has helped so much because we're taking away some of that gatekeeping, some of those people who are telling you what can go out and what can't. I think the artist Paris Paloma had that song Labor that came out.
Yes.
Such a fan. Yes.
So good. And like the edits people were making with that. And I think that's such a strong feminist statement. And I'd never heard a song kind of about women's unpaid labor before. Mm-hmm. And things like that, that women online are latching on to without the label backing, without all of that. I feel like streaming and social media has definitely helped that, kind of like breaking those barriers down for people.
Yeah.
It's funny because that's what I think of when I think of like a feminine rage music is like the deep cuts that like the radio won't play. It feels like a secret club that everyone's a part of where we're like, yeah, these are the songs you listen to because they won't show up at the top of the charts. And I even think of 10 Things I Hate About You where they say that likes indie rock music, angry girl music of the indie rock persuasion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. So yeah, it's funny that even though the music industry ignores it, I feel like there is still collecting this current of allowing women to be angry in their music.
Yeah. And I feel like not to super jump around, but like now that we've talked about, we have to talk about the Riot Girl movement and like Bikini Kill and Sleater-Kinney and these bands that were not mainstream songs, but like gathering this group of women that did feel like they weren't being heard. And it started this sense of community in the music scene where it was like, these women aren't making music that you want them to make. They were like infiltrating men's music spaces and making things that like were full of rage and full of issues that women cared about. Mm-hmm. I think Sleater-Kinney, they were writing songs about like motherhood, politics, how women are portrayed in the media. And there was a lot about sexual violence that women were going through and had nowhere to go to.
It's interesting, just like in the sense that, like, yeah, they maybe didn't shoot to the top of the charts, but the ripples were so widespreading that even now, obviously, a lot of what we do on this podcast is learning about other women musicians. And it's crazy how many women musicians will reference Riot Girl or Bikini Kill. Yeah. Those musicians as huge influences from them because, yeah, it was like finally they could hear something that was expressing what they were feeling and somebody was finally doing it and giving the space for it.
There's this really good quote where it was like, if second wave feminism was about getting wives out of the kitchen, then Riot Girl is getting girls out of their bedrooms and going into action and not being like, I'm keeping my feelings in my diary. It was like, I am yelling my feelings in a room. And like Bikini Kill being like, get the girls to the front of the room, boys to the back, this isn't for you, created like a space that like women desperately needed, especially like in the 90s.
And like giving them permission to take up that space. Like sometimes you just need to see sometimes like one person do it and you're like, oh yeah, I could do that too. Cool. Like I get it. Yeah.
Like, and that you don't have to make music that is pretty and proper and about falling in love. And all those things are great things, but it's like you have permission to be like gritty and in your face and scream.
I love that. I know you mentioned Riot Girl as like such a pivotal thing, but personally, do you have a song or an album that you always go back to? What is your pinnacle of feminine rage album or I don't know?
Pinnacle rage of albums. I mean, anything Sleater-Kinney's doing, I really love. I think, and they've had such a long career of making this music that is so specific to women's rage, I think.
Yeah.
Other albums, Ethel Cain's Preacher's Daughter is next level. I think what she's done again, being a little gross in her music, being a little bit gritty and like unsettling, I think has been, you know, phenomenal.
And I don't know, I love thinking about that in the sense of, you said it's gross. You hear the yeah. premise of the album, you're like, that makes me feel weird, but letting women write weird, gross music.
Yeah.
It's good.
It is good.
Yeah. I think we've touched on all the main points that I wanted to. We have one last question that we want to end on, but is there anything else that you didn't feel like we touched on that you'd like to bring up?
Let me look at my notes just in case. I do want to talk about Rico Nasty.
Okay, yes.
And I want to talk about Rico Nasty because I think if we're talking about feminine rage, like there is the fact that like Black women have such a stereotype against them for the angry Black woman stereotype.
Yes.
And I think we've talked about Beyonce's Lemonade, which definitely dismantles that and leans into it and creates that space for Black women to have emotions and process rage. But what I've been loving about Rico Nasty is I think she's doing this in such a big, in-your-face way. And in the same way that, like, Riot Grrrl was creating a space for women at the front, like, Rico Nasty's like, women of color at the front of my shows, let's start a mosh pit, in a way that is, like, echoing that, okay, if a man can do this, I can do this. And I think she's, like, outspoken. She's in-your-face in a way that is really empowering this generation of women in hip hop, I think. Like, her music makes me want to start a fight. And I think hip hop is such a, like, weird culture, and women are put into these different boxes in hip hop so fast. Yeah. And it's still such a male dominated genre that, like, when Rico Nasty is going in there being, like, really, like, outspoken and talking about anger and creating that space, and she's like, I don't want to be, like, seen as, like, an angry Black woman, but I feel like my, you know, emotions. I have this quote. I don't want to be that stereotypical Black girl that's mad all the time, but if that's what you need to be to get your point across, just be that bitch. At the end of the day, you have a side of the story that needs to be heard too. And I really loved that. I think she's doing really great things.
That's so cool.
No, that's incredible.
The last question that we like to end with is just a personal one of what does feminine rage mean to you? Like in your own life, how do you express that? Or how, I don't know, whatever, open-ended.
What does feminine rage mean to me? I think it's just about getting your feelings out. I think women are not allowed to have rage sometimes. I feel like men can be angry all the time, and it's just, they just have so much going on. And I think for women, rage bubbles up to a certain point that it's, you have to let it out. Mm-hmm. I don't think women's rage is immediate. I think it builds up for so long inside you that when it's released, it's like a cathartic release. And I think that's what's so beautiful about feminine rage music is that it must mean something to get to that point, for sure. And I think that's why I love this music so much, because it bonds all of us together in that point of, this is something we can all relate to. This is something we're all feeling. And if it's gotten to this point where it's bubbled up like this, it means something.
Yeah, wow. I love that just too, because I listen to this music and it feels very thoughtful for me. It doesn't ever feel reactionary, you know, because you know they've been sitting with it for a long time that they're like, no, I'm so justified in this.
It's so clever usually by the time they get to that point. It's never just nonsense. You can tell that they've just deep-seated just hurt and pain over it.
Generational trauma. Like, rage. When Beyonce is in her hold-up video smashing cars, like, just smiling, and it's this is built up.
Like, she knows exactly what she's doing, and she is enjoying every moment.
And making it look amazing.
And looking great while doing it. Very important note there. Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on our podcast again and being a part of our March Madness and celebrating women being as mad as they want to be. So
I love that. So I love what y'all are doing. I listen to y'all's podcast all the time. Y'all are doing such a good job.
Thank you.
And same with you. Always watching.
We're big fans.
TikTok. So. Hi, it's me. Back to just wrap up the episode. And a reminder, if you're here at the very end, that we are still selling our March Madness merch that we are so excited about. It is currently available on our website, just morethanamusepodcast.com. So go check it out. And a reminder that you can now watch our episodes on YouTube. So subscribe, like, follow, leave a rating, and we'll be back later this week. Bye.